Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. Well, I wonder this morning if you've ever looked at someone else and watch them do something and think, why would you do that? Perhaps it happened in the house before you left, I don't know. Remember back in 1997, there was a boxing match between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. And Mike Tyson, during that fight, bit the top off Evander Holyfield's ear. Why would you do that? I also read that there's a world record for how many light bulbs a person can eat. Now, granted, that's not the brightest idea, but why would you do that? No, actually, thinking about that, see when people say things like, I can eat 15 light bulbs, and my thought immediately goes to, what on earth were you doing when you realised that you had a skill to be able to eat light bulbs? Why would you do that? I don't know if you've seen free solo climbing. Just climbing a cliff face, El Capitan, 3,200 feet, with no rope, no safety, just a pair of trainers and some powder on your hands, and off you go. Crazy, why would you do that? And free divers, diving in the ocean, depths up to several hundred feet, experts can now do 22 minutes on one breath. Why would you do that? But there's one thing in Christian circles that really makes me think, why? Why would you do that? And it's when a Christian decides to deconstruct their faith. Basically questioning their beliefs, and in many cases either walking away from the faith altogether or choosing the bits they do like and rejecting the bits that they don't. And that's the problem. See, if people are questioning their faith, correcting mistaken beliefs to make them align with Scripture, that's a good thing. If you're questioning what you believe, lining up with the Word of God, making adjustments, that's a good thing. But when people rethink their faith without requiring Scripture as the standard, this becomes dangerous. These people decide to place self-authority over biblical authority in their life. But why would they do this? They do this because they've not built a solid, strong, sure foundation of faith. They find that they want to be in control of aspects of their lives. They want to be free to do what they want, or they want to take some parts of the gospel, but they don't want all of the gospel. But for me, I would say you're either all in or you're all out. It's one or the other. You can't be both. And I remember early in our relationship, myself and Elna, we had the occasional strong discussion about certain things, and we seemed to keep coming back to certain things, and eventually we just says, right, here are the fundamental things we are going to stop talking about, we're going to stop arguing about, or strong discussion about. These are the things. We believe in God, we're a family of faith, we go to church, we tithe, we raise our kids according to Scripture the best we can. That's it. We're not going to talk about these things anymore. They're fundamentals of our relationship. That's it. Where we go on holiday, where we live, the cars we drive, the friends we have, that's up for grabs. But ultimately, there's fundamental things that we just set in stone and they are there. I believe it should be the same with our faith. We believe in God. God is the creator of the heavens and earth. Jesus is God's son. God sent Jesus to die for our sins. Jesus rose again. One day he will come back. One day we will live eternally with God. These things are fundamental to our Christian faith. Beyond that, there might be times to sit and have strong discussions about certain aspects of our faith. But ultimately, there are fundamental things of that we could recognise in someone that has a strong faith. So we're currently in this series, What Can the Bible Do For You? We said we want to use this to help us explore the Bible with fresh eyes, engage with its timeless truths, and apply wisdom, its wisdom, to our daily lives. And today I want to explore the thought that the Bible can build your faith. So a life of faith is characterized by the constant and firm belief that something will happen. If we let go of this, we begin to trust only what we can see. And this is likely to reduce our faith to simply following a set of rules and regulations. When we do that at the expense of our relationship, our personal relationship with God. Faith is important, and building a strong faith will enable you to trust God and be obedient to Him. A strong faith will give you confidence to do the things that you may otherwise not, and it will help you stand strong in the face of adversity. So, two or three things this morning. By using the Bible to build your faith, you can first of all understand what faith actually is. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance, the title deed or confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. That is the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. We're also told in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. See, faith involves firmly believing in the reality of things that are not yet visible to the physical senses. It requires a confident trust in God's character, in His word, and in His promises. Having faith in things unseen extends beyond the temporal realm. So we fix our eyes on the eternal glory that awaits us in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul encourages us to focus on the eternal perspective, knowing that our present sufferings are incomparable to the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed in us. And that's from Romans 8 and 18. Our faith in the unseen empowers us to endure trials, knowing that they are momentary compared to the eternity we will spend with our Heavenly Father. See, while faith is a gift from God, it's essential that we cultivate it and we strengthen it. And one way we can do this is to understand the power of faith. Excuse me. So we often come across challenges in life that seem impossible. There is no way we could deal with this. There's no way we can overcome this particular thing. It's like a huge mountain standing in our way. And Jesus assures us that faith, even as small as a mustard seed, is enough to move these mountains. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." But what does this mean? What does it say about the nature and the power of faith? See, it makes sense to think why Jesus chose this particular example of a mustard seed to describe faith. If you do any cooking or you've seen a mustard seed, you'll know that it's tiny. These are the ones that when you open the jar, they go everywhere. It's that kind of thing. They are tiny. But when you plant them, they grow to something significant and strong. So we just need to start with a small seed of belief. And if we nurture that small seed of belief, that small seed of faith, it can grow into a robust and life-giving force. That's what can happen. So I would challenge you just now to think about how your faith has grown over the years. If you're new to faith, look at how your faith has grown in a relatively short time. So I believe that when faith is tested, you have a faith that can be trusted. Take a moment to consider how you respond to trials in your life now, compared to how you responded before you became a Christian or in the early days of walking with Jesus. And our trials almost always fall into one of several categories. It can be unanswered prayer. It can be your career, health issues, financial challenges, strained relationships, discouragement, disappointment, depression. You can put in there whatever it is for you. But when we look at 1 Peter 1:7, it says this about our trials and about our faith. These trials will show you that faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It's good to consider as well what Jesus meant when he says about moving mountains. And if we read through Scripture, we see mountains often symbolize some kind of substantial obstacle or challenge. So faith's power to move mountains can symbolize overcoming personal difficulties, a crisis of belief, any significant barrier in our lives. The connection underlines the extraordinary strength encapsulated within the smallest amount of faith. See, to understand the power of faith, we need to establish the connection between faith and action. See, to have true faith, it can't be passive. It involves active participation. A mustard seed will never grow unless we plant it. We then need to tend it. Similarly, our faith will never move a mountain unless we act upon it. I want to share a story just now. I've mentioned a few times being in New Orleans for an outreach in Mardi Gras. But while we were there, we traveled to Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we were there to pick up a trailer for an Arctic lorry, but it was a shower trailer. And we were using that for the week when we were sleeping on the floor of a church. We had a shower trailer that we could use while we were there. And when we were there, we met Friendships, who were a mercy ship organization based in Lake Charles. And we heard some stories when we were there, but the organization had written a book just charting the story of Friendships. And in that book, you can read the story about them waiting for one of their ships to be prepared. It was being prepared in Los Angeles, and it took 1,774 days for the ship to be ready to sail. And they were heading for the first mission to Nicaragua. And whilst they were waiting on that being prepared, they were also praying and believing and wondering how on earth they were going to fill this whole ship with medical supplies, with food, and anything else that would be necessary for the area they were going to. And as they prayed, believing in faith that something would happen, trucks started turning up with medical supplies. There was big organizations sponsoring like food packages, and this stuff just kept on coming. One of the LA school districts had closed, and they sent truckloads, thousands of school desks. Now, they were trying to fit these things onto the ship, and when they got them on, they actually thought, it's more hassle than it's worth, but we'll put them on there and we'll take them. And they were nearly full, and another truck appears, and the driver gets out and he speaks to the captain, and he says, I've got a whole truckload of brand new hydraulic fluid donated by such and such company. And the captain said, take it away. We're not interested in that. We've no space. And the driver had a bit of a strong discussion with them, and he eventually said, look, the donor has willingly given this. It would be a bit offensive to take it back and say we don't want it. So the captain's like, one truckload, put it on there. Let's get it done. A few days before they set sail, they got word that they were going to have to pay $85,000 to get the ship into the port. Now, they're a small organization. They didn't have $85,000. But they were also told, if you bring your ship and you don't pay, we can take your ship. And you could lose the ship They're thinking, it's taken us 1,774 days to get the ship ready. We've got all this stuff on it. Let's pray about it. And in faith, they chose to go. They believed that God was in it, and they chose to go. A few days before arriving in Nicaragua, they got word that all the port staff that were going to charge the $85,000 that were going to make it difficult had all been fired. Like, all of them. There was a new president had been elected, and she came in and got rid of all of them. Now, they didn't know what kind of response they were going to get. Ultimately, they took the ship, they got a red carpet welcome. They had people from the army and the navy there to help them unload the ship. And the captain was completely blown away with this. This was just God moving, going ahead of them. They were believing in faith, and they put it into action. They got in that boat, and they set sail, and they've just followed God with what he had in store. And the captain wanted to say thanks for the overwhelming welcome and the help that they had received. And when the port officials came to visit, this is what they said when the captain asked if there was anything they could do. All of our cranes, forklifts and power equipment are down and not running. We've run out of hydraulic fluid and no more is available, so everything for us has come to a stop. Well, the captain says, the Lord has a special gift for you. It just so happens they had a full truckload of brand new hydraulic fluid that they gave, and they got the cranes and the forklifts and everything working again. It didn't stop there. The president was speaking. They had lunch with the president. They were talking, speaking about things that she was doing. And she said she toured the region schools. She saw the kids sitting in the dirt. No books, no pencils. Most of them didn't have a desk. The ones that did have a desk carried it on their heads miles to the school and away from the school because they were scared someone was going to steal their desk. The president says, if only you had some school desks. The captain says, well, I've got news for you. They had thousands of desks on board the ship. See, God had orchestrated the full load that they brought. God knew everything that he needed in Nicaragua. And all they had to do, and I'm saying all, but all they had to do was step out in faith, believing God was in it and God would move. We just spoke a minute or two ago about believing when we can't see it. Like we don't live by, we live by faith, not by sight. They chose to believe. They put their faith in action. We would find it difficult to like comprehend that God could do so much. Hydraulic fuel, desks for a school. It seems crazy, but God knows, and if we'll just be willing to take that bold step of faith, believing that God is in it, God is with us, God will go before us, and he'll be through everything with us, then we would step out a whole lot more, I believe. What happened in this story can happen in your story. If you would just believe with that tiny little bit of faith that God might even be in this. I can only believe for so much, but God might just turn up and he might just move that mountain that's in your life. And all you're asked to do is have that tiny little piece of faith. And when you have that, we put it into action. I really need to get my skates on. James 2:17 reminds us that faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead. It's inoperative and it's ineffective. We think of the story of Peter walking on the water to Jesus. Jesus calls him and he gets out the boat and he walks towards Jesus. And he has enough faith to get out the boat. Let's not give him too hard a time. He had enough faith to get out the boat and he started walking to Jesus. And if you know the story, as soon as he starts looking at the conditions, the sea, everything else but Jesus, that's when he starts to sink and Jesus saves him. But that story should encourage us to step out, to move out, to step out of our comfort zones and to trust Jesus fully. See, Peter took this amazing step to stand on the water and walk towards Jesus. And we can take bold steps of faith. And when we do so, we can remember the following. We can get through the doubts and the fears. Jesus saved Peter when his faith was at its lowest. When he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when Jesus stepped in. We need to trust on God and we need to lean on God. If we take a step of faith, we need to trust. When these guys decided to take that ship to Nicaragua, they had to trust fully on God. We've said already, we live by faith and not by sight. And then having faith will please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, when we build a strong faith, when we look to scriptures to see how other people were operating by faith, we really see that sometimes we spell faith R-I-S-K. There is always a chance that we need to risk something and just take a risk and believe that God will do something. Remember I said at the start that a life of faith is characterized by the belief that something will happen. We don't know what, but believe something will happen. Bethany mentioned in worship the story of the woman that was healed by Jesus. She took a massive risk. She took a huge risk to fight her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. And what happened when she took the risk? Power left Jesus. She was healed. Years and years and years of bleeding. Using all her money, speaking to, like, just doing everything she possibly could. And she took the risk. Probably to do something that was against culture and all that stuff. She still took the risk. And she was healed. There's so many stories in scripture of people who take risk in faith, believing that God will do something. You think about Rahab. She had faith as small as a mustard seed. Rahab chose to go against culture. She had enough faith in God to protect the two spies. And really in doing so, she put... the spies' lives in danger, she put her own lives in danger, she put her family's lives in danger, sorry. But she had enough faith to do what she did. And what was the outcome? The spies were safe, Rahab was saved, her family was protected. And all the way through that, if you read in Hebrews 11, known as the Hall of Faith, Rahab is in there. She's in the Hall of Faith because she took a risk. And she stepped out and she'd done something for God. If you read the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, we read by faith Noah built the ark when he was warned about things he couldn't see. Abraham, by faith, left his home country and obeyed God to leave. By faith, the walls of Jericho, after the army marched round them for 7 days, they fell. And it just goes on. And then at the end of the list it says, that's with no mention of the exploits in faith of others such as Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets. It just goes on and on and on. We can read that and we can learn from that and we can take encouragement to step out in faith, believing God that something will happen. It almost feels like the worst case scenario, if we just take a bold step of faith, is that God's going to turn up. That's the worst case scenario. We take a bold step of faith and God shows up and completely blows our mind. That's the kind of life I want to have. I want to be challenged by situations where I need to take a bold step of faith, where I need to say, God, if you're there, you really need to show up now because I'm going, I'm stepping, I'm walking. And you know what? When we take the step of faith, He does. He does. He's there, He's with us, He's calling us, He's leading us, and all we have to do is trust Him, believe Him, and act upon our faith. Time's gone, I just want to finish with one story. I was thinking the Bible can help us to build a strong faith. I believe the Bible can help us to build an unshakable faith. Even in the midst of trials and adversity and difficulties, we can have faith that will never be moved. And I'd seen this in operation when I was pastor at Hart Hill. We prayed for a long time. The worship leader there had had cancer. She had been healed. It was gone, but then it came back. And we prayed often, fervently, for her to be healed. And the church members were there and they were praying and believing God would heal this woman. And week after week and month after month, there was a struggle and it was difficult. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the outcome was that she died. And we were praying and we were believing and we knew God could do this because we'd seen him do it before. And if he's done it before, he can do it again. But the most amazing thing happened. So our family, husband and two kids that were left, they were shaken in turmoil. The church family were devastated. The loss of a faithful servant. But I watched as people rallied round to offer support to the family. In church, I watched as people who were hurting, possibly confused as to why this happened, they continued to praise and they continued to worship God. Despite praying for healing and seeing someone die, they continued to pray for those that were sick. They continued to pray for those that needed God's healing power in their life. Why did they respond this way? Because their faith was strong and their faith was unshakable. God is calling us this morning to believe him, to trust him, and to step out in faith, believing that he will do something. You can stand firm in faith, knowing that God is sovereign. He's in all things, and he works through all things. Sometimes it can be easy to sing about unshakable faith, so perhaps it's time to dare to believe and to see the great things that God has for you. And the band can come back now, thanks. But I wonder, what would it be like if everyone connected to Found Church spent time reading the scriptures, spent time building an unshakable faith and put it into action? What would it be like when we read the Found Church Hall of Faith? My challenge this morning is, where is your name going to be on that list? Can I be here in 12 months' time and read out the Found Church Hall of Faith, where people took bold steps of faith, believing that God would do something? I wonder what would change in our lives if that's how we lived. Can you believe God for the salvation of a loved one? Can you change the spiritual dimension in your place of work, at your university, at the school you attend, or within your family? Would you take a bold step of faith and pray for someone who asks for prayer for healing? Are you willing to turn your back on culture, to go countercultural, to go against what everybody else is saying we should be doing, and take your stand for God? I pray this morning that you would just believe that you can see mountains moved in your life. I wonder, can you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, just a tiny amount, to believe that God can do it for you? Perhaps you're here today and you've never...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.